And this is 89.1 WEMU. David Fair with you on a Friday. It is already December 11th, and a new year is rapidly approaching. So much remains uncertain. Will Congress pass some form of a new relief and stimulus package? Will the COVID vaccination program get up and running and become available to the general public in timely fashion? What are the implications of a less-than-smooth presidential transfer of power? Joining us on the WEMU Newsline is someone right in the thick of things. Debbie Dingell represents the 12th Congressional District in Michigan, which covers portions of Washtenaw County. And Representative Dingell is in Washington, D.C. today. Thank you for making time. I appreciate it.
Good morning, David. It is great to hear your voice. I hope you're doing okay, and it's great to be with everybody this morning.
It is most certainly being good to be back and be full-time and up and running. It has been a most unsettling year, though, and there are people all over who are hurting. Well, think back to March 25th of this year when Congress passed the CARES Act, providing relief for a country being hammered by pandemic. President Trump signed that act into law 2 days later, and you and I discussed at the time the need for more. And you noted that Democrats would immediately begin drafting a new relief package. Well, it's mid-December, and we remain without. What is your constituency telling you?
You know, what my constituency is telling me is they need help. I hear from people every single day who are worried about their jobs. I talked to a father yesterday who had to tell his kid Santa Claus isn't coming this year. I'm helping him in another way. But people are worried about their rent and their mortgages. You know, we're seeing stories about people are stealing food, and the grocery stores that they're stealing it from don't press charges. They just ask them not to come back because they know that people are hungry. We have to get this done. I'm not leaving Washington. I said to all of my colleagues in leadership meetings, in groups, the caucuses that I'm in, we should not be leaving Washington until we get this package done. Mitch McConnell has got to get a heart. No action is unacceptable. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker, said yesterday, we would not leave until this was done. And I said,
but let's explore that a little further, yeah. Because after the CARES Act was passed, House Democrats put forth a $3 billion proposal. The Senate Republicans came back with $1.1 billion counter, and the impasse began. As we moved into and through summer, Democrats came down to a $2 billion request, but with no movement from Republicans. Now we've been talking about that $900 billion package that you're willing to stay in Washington for. But in exploring how we got to this point, was it a mistake on the part of Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic Party for drawing a line in the sand all those months ago and now being in a position to have to potentially agree to something far less beneficial?
You know, I have to say that some of the issues that have been, first of all, we've gotten very inconsistent direction from the White House during all of this. You'll remember 1 hour the president would say negotiate, the next hour he would say not negotiate, and that's been very difficult. David, right now, I'm at a point, President-elect Joe Biden has told Nancy Pelosi and has told Chuck Schumer, we need to get a package. We can't wait until January 20th. I don't need to be told that by anybody. I'm not going to point fingers. I'm tired of the finger-pointing game. I'm tired of the blame game. Our job is to get this done. And I am going to do everything I can to get this done. The American people are tired of the blame game. They want to see action. And that's my job, to be one of the catalysts here that tells everybody we need to get our job done.
Much of what I'm hearing from the constituency here at WEMU is we should start to now look beyond January 20th and the start of the Biden administration, because it seems unlikely anything will get passed prior to that day.
You know, Joe Biden has been very clear that we can't wait until then. Many of the programs that people are counting on expire at the end of this month. We have got to do something that at least continues those programs, that helps people with food insecurity, that is putting money into testing and tracing as the numbers are surging across the country. I hope we don't have to give up. You know, people, some Republicans have been opposed to state and local aid. But what they don't understand is that that's money for our firefighters and our teachers who are performing critical jobs. We need to, we're going to have to look at, you know, where is the line in the sand? Liability is a very controversial issue. I do think that we need to make sure employees are safe inside companies. is there room for compromise? But in the end, I need to make sure that people are getting unemployment insurance, can pay their rent, aren't getting kicked out of their homes, and have food on their table, and that we are doing testing and tracing. That matters, and we got to get it done.
Understanding all the obstacles, given where we are today and how we've gotten to this point, moving into 2021, is Nancy Pelosi the right leader for House Democrats?
Nancy Pelosi is going to be the Speaker of the House. That's just a reality next year.
But is she the right one?
I'm going to say this. She is a person that understands and knows how to bring frontliners and progressives together. And I don't know who else would be the right person right now. This is her last term. People know that this is her last term. She is a skilled leader who will know how to work with Joe Biden. And here is the reality. Joe Biden is going to become the leader of these policies that you and I and so many others care about.
We're talking with 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell on 89.1 WEMU. And as you mentioned, the transition and transfer of presidential power will take place, but it's certainly been less than smooth to this point. While the Trump administration is still trying to overturn election results and is holding on to the notion it will win that effort, it's just not going to happen. Are you seeing movement in Congress, though, to work in better bipartisan fashion to ensure a rapid and effective vaccine program?
I think that there is, that's one subject that there is a great deal of agreement on, that we have got to move quickly. Joe Biden has made it very clear that when he becomes president, his number one issue will be a national COVID plan. He is very concerned. I've talked to his people about the lack of planning that he has seen, but it's not going to be taking shots. He's working with some very talented people, Tony Fauci, and NIH, who put together, the first thing that he announced was a COVID task force. We have got to ensure that we have a process that is approving safe and effective vaccines, which we saw the first step. And actually, the Secretary of HHS announced this morning that they will approve within 24 hours the Pfizer vaccine. And I think you'll see the second vaccine approved within 2 weeks. So the question now is, how do we manufacture enough doses, and how do we ensure that every state, he's going to partner with the states, has a plan for safely inoculating as many people as possible? We all know that we can't get back to normal until we do that, and we're all going to work together with the governors, with our state and local partners to make sure that gets done.
Well, as you know, Governor Whitmer is asking for state legislature for $400 million as a stopgap while awaiting a package from the federal government. Given that the Senate and House are in two completely different places right now, and we may not see any kind of package on that front, how closely are you watching the two Senate races in Georgia as we head towards those elective runoffs?
Well, anybody who cares about this country or cares about politics or wonders what's going to happen next year is paying attention to what happens in Georgia. I've talked to so many people. I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, even what the outcome of that is, obviously I would be happier if it was a Democrat. We have we're going to have very close majorities in both the House and Senate. It is going to force us, even AOC said this, it's going to force people to talk to each other more. It's going to force us to build coalitions. And quite frankly, I hope it helps us remember what our values are and why we need to work together for the people that we all represent.
Once again, we're talking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, and there are several in the Democratic Party who have expressed concern and even disappointment in the cabinet that President-elect Joe Biden is putting together. His was a campaign run on the message of unity. You've just talked about unity. Is failure to create that unity within his own party a significant red flag for being able to dampen a polarized Congress and country?
I don't think that he is failing at building unity. We all have freedom of speech. Everybody's had their candidates. This is the most diverse cabinet that you have ever seen. He is not done. I think if you were in the Congress, you would see people on both sides. Look, people are passionate. I love the fact that a lot of us are passionate. We've got feelings. But I think a lot of people understand the hope of what Joe Biden will bring, of getting action done, of bringing us together as a nation. And I think that you're wrong when you say that Democrats are not going to pull together and unite in trying to get some very important things done.
Well, President Trump seemingly is not going to go quietly. We've had situations across the country, including here in Michigan, where armed protesters showed up outside the home of the Michigan Attorney General. How concerned are you and your congressional colleagues that we're going to see all of this ignite into real and possible sustained violence and upheaval?
You know, David, I have several feelings about this. I've talked to people quietly, leaders, about how we need to pay attention to this and what we all need to do, whether we are business leaders, grassroots activists, elected leaders, union leaders, etc., about our responsibility in pulling people together. I think that I've had the militia in front of my house with guns. I've had my share of not good things. I don't talk about it. I think when we talk about it, we put kerosene on the fire, and we give attention to those that want attention, and we give more people ideas. I am focused on bringing people together. I'm focused on trying to find the common ground. I'm focused on listening to each other. We, you know, John Dingell used to say, and it's now everybody's going to say, Debbie Dingell says, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. We all need to spend more time listening to each other. I say to my friends and my colleagues, you know, a lot of people voted for Donald Trump. We need to not condemn them. We need to understand why, what they are worried about. And then we all need to work together. We are the United States of America. We need to come together, and we got to work together. And it's not easy. It requires us to work at it. I'm focused on finding the common ground and working. United we stand, divided we fall, and I plan on keep on standing for a long time.
Well, there will be opportunity over the course of the next week for the two chambers of the federal legislature to come together and put together that package as a start and work in a unified fashion that way. Why don't you and I talk again next Friday and see if we've come closer together?
Sounds good, and I hope you have a good weekend.
That is 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti, celebrating 55 years of broadcasting to Washtenaw County and beyond.